the Geeks and Brews podcast said our podcast has a better table than you guys.
And you, Geeks and Brews.
What's up, bro?
We are the streaming.
Oh, you are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
That apparently I spent a total of 67 hours finishing 60% of the game.
I'm a big boy now.
Go work out.
There's such a mess everywhere. The floors are sticky. Of course, the prizes are crappy.
Every damn night.
I look at the scrap rate.
Commence radio transmission.
It's Geeks and Brews. This is a show where we geek out with a brew. It is Chris here. It is Eli.
Hey, boy.
Whoa, coming in hot there. It is Guillermo.
Hey, hey.
And
Ho, ho. Something has got to go. Hey.
Oh, my God. It's going to be one of those shows, huh?
It is one of those shows. It's like a Saturday night with the... The holiday tomorrow. You guys off tomorrow?
I don't get a holiday tomorrow.
Nope, neither do I.
You just rub it in our faces, Chris.
Yeah, way to go, Chris.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You don't honor this great country of ours with a day off?
What do I mean? It's not
for the We're celebrating presidents of the United States. Not the band, but presidents, the actual presidents of the United States.
Well, I mean, stuff still needs to go into space. What could I tell you?
Well, it sounds like you gents might need a little something that we do on this show every damn night.
Brew of the day.
And gents, what are we drinking today? What are you drinking, Eli?
I am drinking a delicious ginger tea made all the way from the mountains of Gingeria.
Gingeria.
I might have made that last part up.
That kind of sounds like you're doing like an Oompa Loompa Land thing. Like from the mountains of Oompa Loompa for the land of Gingeria.
Yep, exactly. See? Guillermo knows it well.
No. Oh.
But you know, it is safe, I guess, to drink. What about you, Guillermo?
I am redoing a drink because I decided like I need to finish certain beers. But this one is the Milkshake Orange, named after a Clockwork Orange. It's a Blood Orange Milkshake IPA.
Nice.
What'd from the land of Milkshake Orangia,
Guillermo. Would you say those milkshakes brings all the boys to the yard?
Every damn night.
And we're responding. Not just by this.
I don't think he liked that one, Chris.
And I'm keeping it simple with Firestone Walker Brewing Company, the 805.
That's what she said.
805.
She said brewing company?
No, she said keeping it simple.
Keeping it simple.
Oh, wait. I still don't...
Come on, after the milkshake.
Eli, you're off your game here. I mean...
I know. I didn't say it fast enough. My apologies. I'll do better next time.
Please. That's all we ask of you.
Well, we got a great show for you guys, but first let's open these bad boys up and virtual cheers.
Virtual cheers, everybody.
Virtual cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Tasty. Oh
shit.
Easy there at the milkshake right there, man.
I'm sorry, yeah, I forgot man. How to do it.
Alrighty, well, why don't we get to today's program and a little segment we call What's Up, Bro?
What's up, bro?
start with Eli.
What's up, bro?
What's up, everybody? I have been busy with work, of course, as usual. I've started watching Griselda on Netflix.
It's good, isn't it?
I'm on the first episode as we speak.
Eli, what's that about? Sorry.
It's essentially, it's from the world of Narcos, so it's essentially a story of Griselda. She's like a drug lord, but in the female version in Miami. So she starts in Miami.
And Miami looks a lot like Long Beach, California. I'll just throw that out there.
Wait, was this one of the real stories? I know the Mexico they had.
It is one of the real stories.
Oh, I have to see this.
The show starts off with, like, the first thing that they show is it says, the only man I feared in my life was a woman, and her name was Griselda. And then the show starts. And then it says Pablo Escobar right under it.
That is badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the makeup, too, is great. It's Sofia Vergara.
Sofia Vergara plays Griselda Blanco.
Yeah, I think I know of who you're talking about. Like, did she end up in Mexico or end up in another country? I remember there being someone who gets portrayed by her boyfriend at times, but
I'm not sure. I just started watching the show.
Not there yet.
Yeah.
But what spoilers? Damn, Guillermo.
I might be confusing her with another female drug lord, but either way, I loved both the narco shows. They were just well made. Same. So the fact that there's another offshoot, I'm all aboard. Like, that's
Narcos Mexico, Narcos Pablo Escobar, all of them were well done in my
opinion. Oh, hands down.
That was my first exposure to both Diego Luna and what's his name, the Mandalorian.
No fucking way. That was your first?
Yes.
Diego Luna's been in stuff before, but...
Yeah, dude. He was in Tu Mamá También, Amores Perros. Like, he was in a bunch of movies, bro.
You're naming movies I haven't seen.
El Crimen del Padre Amaro, which was a fucked up movie, but it's a good movie.
Get on it.
I mean, all three of those movies are kind of fucked up.
I'll tell you what. Give me the list, and I'll watch at least some of them.
Amores Perros is a fucked up movie also, but it's really well done, and it kind of reminds me of... what's that movie with Brad Pitt where all the stories kind of come together at the end?
Was he... I don't know.
I think it's called Babel.
Babel, yes, yes. They all talk about
I've never seen Babel.
Yes, yes.
Also a very great movie. I think that's the same director that did Amores Perros, Chris, isn't it?
You know, it might be. I'm going to search it up here in the IMDb.
Maybe that's why they kind of remind me of each other.
I'm going to search it up in the IMDb. But
I'll send you a list, Guillermo. Obviously, Diego Luna and...
he's also in Elysium.
He's obviously from Mexico. I want to say obviously, but he's a Mexican who started as a Mexican actor, and he's had a few movies when he was younger, and they're excellent movies.
Yeah, he was in Milk.
He was in Milk.
Yeah, he was in Milk.
Really?
Played the character Jack Lear.
Also, Michael Peña, that was the first time I had seen him.
What?
It was in Narcos Mexico.
What the fuck?
Dude, seriously? And then, by the way, he was also in The Terminal, too. Remember the Spielberg movie when he gets stuck in that terminal because his country's at war? Tom Hanks, his character?
Yeah. I remember the movie. I just didn't like it.
Yeah, no, but Diego Luna was in that movie.
Really, I don't remember who he played, though.
Yeah. He was the guy that was in love with the another lady that worked. Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. She worked at the airport, and he wanted to like impress her. It was Zoe Saldana, her character. I can't remember the name.
Okay,
but it was actually a pretty damn good cast there.
Yeah. Also, by the way, Pedro Pascal was the other one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I also got to know through Narcos.
I could see because I think it was the same for me.
we went off of topic a little bit. So I started watching that show. And I started watching the last two seasons of X-Files on Hulu. So you know how they did like a remake of the season? Not a remake.
Yeah.
They did like a season. Yeah, continuation with Mulder and Scully, but they only did two seasons. And there wasn't that many episodes. I think there's 10 episodes per season.
Per season, yeah.
So it's, I think it's season 10 and 11, if I'm not mistaken. They're already older and whatnot. They reopened the X-Files. So I'm watching that. I think I've seen three episodes of season 10. And also, I'm very proud of this, by the way. I went to a little place called Frankenson's yesterday with a buddy. You might know him. His name is Edgar.
Did you buy swords?
I bought an original 1980s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle van. Yes.
But with that, any accessories?
Of course. I bought all the Turtles, Shredder, Splinter, and a Foot Soldier.
Dude.
Also, Bebop and Rocksteady.
Nice.
I don't even want to say how much money I spend, but I'm a happy camper.
What was the event that exactly? I don't think I've heard of it.
The van? You don't remember the turtle van?
No, I remember the turtle van, the event.
No, it's not an event. It's a store. It's a collectible store.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, Frankenstein's is a collector show that's open I believe it's Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday, and it's basically like a big indoor swap meet.
It's a geek swap meet.
Oh, okay.
It's all for like geeky stuff. It has like a bunch of anime. Think of it like a very small Comic-Con, but without like... it's like an indoor swap meet for geeks and of any kind of geek. You know, they have old toys, they have Yu-Gi-Oh cards, Pokemon cards, comic books, sports memorabilia. Sometimes they have like signings for like famous people there. Yeah. If you ever over this side on a Friday or Saturday and you want to check it out, let me know and I'll take you.
Sure.
It's free to get in. And I mean, it's, you know, just walk around, chill, look at some old school toys. Yeah, it's a good time.
Nice.
Nice, man. I guess, what about you, Guillermo? I know we haven't talked to you in a while.
What's up,
bro? I mean, definitely been up to a lot of things. I mean, there's certain things I haven't told you. Like, I had decided to get to start getting certified to become a hypnotherapy. So that was something.
He just drops that in, like, all nonchalantly.
I've been doing the online training for a few weeks now, but I mean, there's still a number of months to go, but it's one random thing that's just been in the background of my weeks.
Hey, quick question, Guillermo.
Yeah.
Do they have a course on how to become a mentalist?
No, because this is not magic or stage things. They actually, the funny thing is, Magic Castle does have a mentalism class, but that's a different thing.
How do I do the thing for mentalism? I've always found it fascinating.
I mean, they're doing basic mentalist tricks, but actually, there's a lot of magic books on mentalism. Because a lot of mentalism really is mostly magic tricks or a lot of different type of guessing and using a lot of those principles to do it. I tend to not treat it as real so much as seeing it as something that kind of creates the effect of being psychic.
Yeah, of course.
There's a ton of books on it, and from the magic, you could all see a lot of videos. Hell, if you look on YouTube, you could look up magic mentalism.
Just think it'd be a funny like a gag for like parties and stuff, you know, like
if you're looking for party gags, then actually that type of thing would be really easy to find in terms of like best basic medalist tricks. Like, and that, like that you is much easier to find as opposed to if you're trying to do like a fake psychic routine or something like that. That's
I'm not trying to be a professional. I'm just trying to like learn it well enough where I could, you know, do tricks at parties and impress someone here or there.
I mean, I don't know if mentalism would necessarily do that because that's often more involved. But you, there are actually, like I said, every once in a while, the Magic Castle will have a specialty, like 6-week course on mentalism.
Let me know when it's available.
Once a week for 6 weeks. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'll have to let you know because when they last time they offered it, it sold out in about a day. Yeah, I it killed me because it was in January and I wanted to take it. But given that it sold out so quickly, they're gonna have it again. That's good. But yeah, that's something you could do. Other way. Oh yeah. So things I've actually been up to. I went to this one religious ed conference and I ran into my junior ethics teacher and a bunch of other people, which was kind of a funny reconnect. Fun event I went to was I went to something called Lucha Vavoom, which it was a mix of burlesque and luchador wrestling.
And how was that?
It was interesting. I hate the word interesting because it's so vague. So let me try to think of a different way to do it. Like, it was like people there were kind of having fun. The wrestling itself, fake wrestling itself, was much more showboaty and a lot sloppier in a lot of ways. Like, what I mean by sloppy is like,
it is a chauvinist pig.
Is that they did things like they like, you know, there was the first match. You know how like you normally tag to get in when there's like a tag team.
Yeah.
People just came in and out just randomly, willy nilly, and like you weren't clear. They were trying to tap out. There wasn't any clear rules. And the refs, it was really weird. The refs all looked so shocked that people were hitting each other in a wrestling thing. I'm like, dude, I know everyone's playing a character, but why would you choose to play the character of a ref? Who's like just trying to make everyone get along. Like that made no sense. And also like they would just constantly play every wrestler. Well, after every wrestler does like some impressive move, they just like blare up their theme song in the middle of the match. That was a weird thing, but it was so fun because it was just a lot of people's stupid gimmicks and, you know, just fun, odd wrestling moves and just a crowd of people cheering for them. And they had some odd gimmicks. Like my favorite were these people that dressed like chickens. And there was this, like, they played this ranchero beat and they were like bouncing on the floor on their butts, like just like doing like chicken pecking motions. Or there was this guy who's like called the Dirty Sanchez. And he was just this gross guy, kind of like, he let his pants out and he like, at some point he put chocolate on his butt and like wiped it off and threw that at an audience. Like, there's like weird things like that. There was two female little people that were like wrestling, probably the most acrobatic people on the show. But it was fun. And I also ran into this, magician that I happened to have seen on TV a bunch of times that happened to be behind me, which was kind of a cool thing. Now, as far as shows are concerned, I finally finished since the last time the Mr. and Mrs. Smith show. And
what did you think of the ending?
Did you see it, Chris?
No, I'm just curious, you know, overall.
I actually,
without really spoilers, loved, of course.
No, I will say this. I actually really love this show. It's gotten like very polarized reviews, but you know, unlike a lot of times when you're seeing reviews on a show and you're like, okay, this doesn't make sense, or I really disagree, or it kind of feels like you're getting gaslit about how good a show was. This is one of the things where when people criticize it, it's not necessarily a criticism of the quality of the show. It's more that I think people came, some people were complaining, came in hoping for something like the movie, which was a lot more action packed. It was like more comedic and funny. Whereas this show is really like about the relationship between two people, and they happen to also be spies. There's key differences. Like in the movie, you know, there's two assassins that don't know the other one's assassin. They discover when they're hired to kill each other. But in this show, there's basically some unknown spy organization that kind of hires them and then pairs them together, and they don't know each other, but they're made man and like husband and wife. And as they're going through the missions, they eventually start actually connecting and actually liking each other. And then they have the normal marital tension stuff. But it's kind of a low-key fun show in that, like, you know, as they're navigating it, like, you know, there's a lot of laughs and like the silliness of how they mess up, how they screw it over, like how they get Jaws. But it's also a very real show. So it's not funny all the time. It's you're dealing with a relationship. There is definitely action, and I actually enjoy the action scenes. Like they were keeping invested. But I think the thing about a show I really liked is that when you actually make the characters very three-dimensional, when you actually give them room to become people, you actually care about those things. So when their actions these happen, you care a lot more about it. So when you do that, you don't need to do as many crazy things for it to be interesting. They did the legwork for that. And I really loved how they did that. But I, again, like people, I think that complain, were just hoping for action and they didn't want to deal with that drama. So it's a good show, but it's important to know that what you're getting into isn't going to be like all action all the time, like crazy funny. You're going to deal with a range of emotions, but it's solid.
Nice. Nice. Looking forward to that one. Awesome. Anything else?
Anything else? Let's see. I saw Super Bowl,
and we thought you were you couldn't make it to the show.
What happened there, Guillermo? Yeah, we couldn't make it to the show.
Well, you guys scheduled this during the Super Bowl, effectively. The Super Bowl was still going when you guys started, and I was like, okay. This is not realistic for me to make, and also to kind of be like sober up and like be in a good condition to have the energy.
If only there was like a schedule that like what came out ahead of time that told you when the show was going to be. I mean,
you know, if only people thought about, hey, holidays. Maybe we should not have a show this week because of the schedule.
You know, 49ers.
Because you're
fan.
Such a big football fan, right, Guillermo?
I'm not a big football fan. You're right, but
49ers fan.
I am
Edgar.
A big like going to the big event. That's like the social experience of it.
Because 49ers fan Edgar made it to the show. Just want to throw that.
Yeah,
out.
And so did Eli over here.
Yeah, and you know what?
Well, that is why they lost. Eli's a sports fan in general.
Yeah,
but that is why they lost.
That
you
is,
know,
that is.
You guys but gave up on
you
them.
Know, Eli. Up until 10 minutes before the show, I was still pondering, like, are you gonna make it? You had, I know you went to see Tool, but
yeah,
guys, I'm not gonna make
to
it.
Say that
I'm not gonna make it.
I thought I wasn't gonna make it because I actually went to the Thursday show instead of the Sunday show, but it was my mistake because the Sunday show, it's not even in February; it's like in March or something. So I fucked up anyway. So,
but when you said you were going to the Thursday show, I'm like, I had confirmed earlier in the week. So are you still missing Sunday? And you're like, yes. And I'm like,
No, I probably was at the show and I was distracted.
No,
or
this
something.
Was like
no.
Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever you said, hey guys, guess where I'm going?
Oh,
you were like in Happy Land or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I probably was just like,
that tea, that ginger tea. Gets to you.
It's that tea is getting to me, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm falling asleep. No, but I went to see Tool Thursday, and it was fucking amazing, guys. Let me tell you, They put on a great goddamn show. And I like that Maynard, after the first song, he immediately got on the mic and was like, hey, listen, everybody, put down your fucking phones and don't record the show until the last song. I will let you guys know when to record, but enjoy the show. Let's go on a journey together and put your crack pipes away, you fucking crackheads. Put that shit in your pockets and let's go on a journey together. Nobody wants to see the show on a screen from the guy in front of them. I thought that was pretty
cool. So it's funny. This was Thursday. Thursday, yeah. I met up with some friends and had some drinks. And this was a topic because my friend, when he does extra, he's a police officer, when he does extra like overtime work, sometimes he's just, you know, at like extra security for like shows and stuff. And there's some performers, I think he said, I'm trying to remember which comedian it was, but they're like, you know, put the phones away and they actually collect them. And I think it's great. But, you know, he's walking around and after the shows, everyone's just like running for their phones. Like, it's like, yeah. You got to get that fix, man. You got to get that text and tweet and all of that.
Yeah, so it was super cool. I mean, the lasers, the show, the backdrops, the smoke. I mean, they take you on a trip for sure. And I mean, if you're on something when you go see it, God damn, you're going to have a great time.
That might be two trips right there.
Yeah. Eli. Eli, I guess like maybe the only songs I think of from Tool are like are really depressing and dark.
No, I don't know about like, depressing. Maybe a little bit dark, but mostly like, it's like
dun, 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 dun. I like, you know, like things like Hurt or
Hurt's not Tool.
That's not even Tool, bro.
No, sorry.
Everything you're saying is Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, Nine. Fuck.
I think you're confused. You're confused.
I think I am. You know, you're right. But I also feel like I remember Tool being depressing.
I think you're remembering incorrectly, bro. But hey.
Okay.
They're not
tonight, happy the melodic. Show, I will say that. They're not happy melodic.
No, they're not happy. But it's mostly, it's very like deeper meaning into their music. Like if you listen to it, if you listen to like the melodies, if you listen to the words, it's very like, about symmetry and interdimensional and like DNA and like space travel and you know, like other mindly things, you know, like expand your mind kind of stuff. So very there's even a song that has the notes are like related to like Fibonacci sequences and stuff like that. So you should check it out. Do some little research, Guillermo.
Or tonight, go to a Tool concert.
Listen to some Tool.
Yeah.
Go down your Spotify, Tool artist, shuffle all their songs. Their latest album is called Fear Inoculum. But a lot of the stuff that I like the most is a little bit of their older stuff. But Fear Inoculum is still a great album.
It was a great album. Lateralis. That was a great album.
Yeah, Lateralis. I think I bought like three t-shirts. I think I have three Tool t-shirts now. One that I bought for the concert, one that I bought at the concert, and one that I bought after the concert at outside
from the
vendors.
So years ago, I went to this old venue called the Baked Potato. I don't even know if it still exists, especially after the pandemic and stuff. But it's over by Universal Studios on Cahuenga. And Danny Carey, the drummer from Tool, was in this like jazz rock fusion band as well, and they played there. And very intimate, and it's called the Baked Potato because you can actually order different varieties of baked potatoes. Like I think I had like a chicken parmesan baked potato, and it was fantastic. But I don't know if the venue's still around. I got to look that up.
Yeah, look it up. I'm down to go.
Yeah. Well, it depends on who's playing there, but yeah, great. I mean, I think it's I think you can go just to eat. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, let's go just to eat.
But yeah, it was a great little venue to see some shows. I didn't do that much.
What's up? You didn't go to the Tool concert either?
Lame. I didn't go to the Tool concert, unfortunately. I didn't get a chance to hear them play Hurt.
Yeah, apparently that's the song they do now, according to Guillermo.
Well, Eli didn't get a chance to hear that either. I did meet up with some buddies and had some drinks. It was reminiscent of a Wednesday night, but at my buddy's house, and it was a Thursday night. So damn. Friday was like, wow.
Wednesday nights. Remember those Wednesday nights?
Oh yeah.
Chris?
But
holy shit.
Yeah, we had some beers. I did have a drink, but you know, mainly beers and some pizza, homemade pizza and stuff. So it was good.
But those Wednesday nights were epic.
No, they were.
Some of them were super epic.
They were. Also,
what are you talking
about? Oh, well, you've been with us on Wednesday nights occasionally when you were in town.
No.
Yeah, we would meet up.
I don't think he was around for the epic ones, though.
Yeah, maybe not the epic ones, but yeah, Guillermo. I know I brought you to at least a couple. It was Guillermo.
We used to hang out Wednesday nights.
It was Eli and Edgar. Yeah, and myself. Yeah. And we'd hang out in Uptown, and we'd frequent Vinatero's, the wine shop that's no longer there, RIP, and the ballroom that's no longer there, RIP. Damn.
And Steve's
met up with you guys, but I don't think I thought of it as I realized that there was a Wednesday meetup.
Yeah, we did that every Wednesday. But see, when you're young and in your 20s, you know, your body can take that.
Wait, no, that's not entirely true, because I feel like I knew Eli from when I moved back.
Well, yeah, but we were still... Well, yes, but no. You met him before you moved back.
Once or something.
But I know I brought you down like on a Wednesday, but when you hit your 30s and your 40s, no, definitely not your 40s, but your 30s, it's rough. You can't do that.
Yeah, we stopped
can't
that.
Can't do it, Sally.
Yeah. We stopped that because our bodies couldn't take it anymore.
You know what you just reminded me of? I have a very hilarious story.
Go ahead.
Okay.
So one thing that I've been up to is like I went, like since it was Valentine's Day, I went to a crap ton of singles events because Valentine's is the best day to go out if you're a single guy. I know Eli's making a face, but think about it. Like,
no, I didn't know. Like, I'm making a face because I was a guy. I got to remember that next time.
Yeah. Think about it. Like, it actually works to your advantage. Like, because, there's a stigma against being single if you're female, but if you're a guy, there isn't. But like, you're going to a singles event, and it's a situation where you just know everyone else is single, and it's a day where, like, the women are usually very actively looking to meet people. And there isn't the sense of we're just here to hang out. There's a lot more deliberateness of going there, and so it was fun, but. I remember I was at an event on Friday, and I was talking to this group, and I had just shared this ridiculous story in Boston where I had gotten a number of this au pair, and when she texted me, I realized there was an entire conversational thread, but I had not met that woman before. It turns out that the previous au pair, and au pairs, I don't know if you guys know what au pairs are. They're basically like... nannies from another country that are like that will be hired for 2 years to spend the time, and a lot of times like the au pairs will be given a phone and then they'll pass that phone on to the next au pair. Well, it turns out I had exchanged a number with the previous au pair with that same phone.
That
was a funny thing. Now here's where it gets really trippy. I was talking to this one group, and I ended up talking to this one girl, and at some point, like I had shared the story with them all, and at some point we're talking, I said I want to wander around, and we exchanged numbers, and we exchanged numbers by me texting her. She checks her phone. There is a history of us having texted. I had gone on a date with her, and neither of us had remembered that we had gone on a date before.
Wow.
And it was just this really funny thing. We had talked for like half an hour. We were connecting, and then discovered that We had already.
Damn.
That was really funny. And like after saying telling this group about this other story where that type of thing happened, it then actually happens again.
You might be single, have been single too long there, Gary.
Oh my gosh.
That is an awesome story, man.
I was sorry to kind of
No. I mean, that was
Chris's story was lame anyway. Yeah,
it was basically my week. All right, guys, how about a little bit of geek news? All righty. So now I know you guys are major sports fans out there.
Yeah, obviously we're men.
We're men.
Men like sports.
Yeah, sports.
I love the sports.
So Sacramento State has a player that made his debut, started the season on this previous Friday. Name is Matt, and I'm going to butcher this, but Matt Maschiangelo. Michelangelo. Just call him Michelangelo. He played a game, two games. It was a doubleheader. And in the first game, he was hit by a pitch in all three at-bats. So he never had to hit the ball. It was just hit by a pitch. Do you guys know what he did in the second game? And he had four at-bats in the second game. How did he reach base in the second game?
He punted? I don't know.
No.
He did the same thing.
Four at-bats, four hit by pitches. Seven hit by pitches in one day in the span of two games. That is a record. Like that just does not happen.
Chris, what does a hit by pitches mean?
When you are literally hit by a pitch.
Oh, you're hit by a pitch.
Yep.
Oh, shoot.
Oh. Okay.
Seven times in seven different at-bats in two back-to-back games. Doubleheader, one early in the afternoon, and then the other one was a night game.
Wow.
Shit, man.
Wow.
Is he just like, did he accidentally
he wasn't
break up with an evil witch or something.
I don't know. There's video online. There's like, video of this, and his stance is not like he's leaning in, crowding the plate or anything. But you see some of these balls are just going like right at him. So it's like, geez, man. And apparently after the third in that first game, that's where it's like, all right, this is getting really silly. You know, not even knowing that he was going to face that again four more times.
Okay, Chris, one more question. Here's another theory. Does he just have a very punchable face?
I don't think so. Looking at the photo of him like, at bat.
At this
but
point,
no.
It has to be feel deliberate.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's maybe he's like magnetized or something where the ball... you know, goes to him. Like, I don't know.
I don't think those balls have any metal in them.
I don't know. that was an interesting moment that I'd share with you with sports. Let's see. It's award season, obviously, and there was a bunch of there was two. The BAFTAs just happened.
The BAFTAs,
man.
Not the BAFTAs.
Also, the People's Choice happened as well. So some of the big winners in this one, movie of the year, of course, went to Barbie. Action movie of the year went to The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
That was actually a decent movie, so I'm okay with that.
Really?
Comedy movie of the year, Barbie. So it won both categories. Guys, want to guess drama movie of the year?
Oppenheimer.
Yeah, it is correct. Oppenheimer. So, interesting. TV show of the year, Grey's Anatomy.
What? That's still on?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm looking at the shows that are in the categories. Law and Order Special Victims Unit was in that category. Only Murderers in the Buildings. Saturday Night Live. Ted Lasso. The Bear. The Last of Us and Vanderpump Rules were some of the shows in that category.
The category of drama or comedy?
Of that's TV. Best TV show of the year.
Oh my gosh. I don't know which one, but like I actually personally I like Last of Us the most of those.
Yeah, or you know, The Bear, The Last of Us was like just fantastic.
I hadn't seen The Bear, although I've heard amazing things about it.
Yeah, I haven't seen The Bear either.
But I agree with you on the Last of Us. Like that was an amazing piece of television right there. I don't know if miniseries goes along with that, but The Offer was a pretty damn good show. But again, this is TV show, so it probably needs multiple seasons or something like that. Not just a TV miniseries. So yeah, interesting little list. Also tonight, if you have not caught it, tonight is the season finale of True Detective, season 4. So it's only 6 episodes. I thought it was going to go on a little bit longer. I thought it was going to run closer to 10, but it's only a 6-episode season. So I have not yet watched it, but it just dropped on Max today. Or, maybe a couple hours ago or so.
Yeah.
Are you caught up, Eli?
No, I think I'm 2 behind.
Okay. But, yeah, so I'm going to try to watch that tonight or maybe tomorrow. But, yeah, when I saw the last one, like, coming up in the finale. Yeah. For the finale. Wait, what's going on?
I ended on season 4, episode 4.
Okay. Yeah, we saw 5. We had to catch up and watch 5 last night. And then I was like, wait a minute. What do you mean the next episode's the last episode? So I was very, very thrown off with that.
Damn.
Tonight is also the return of John Oliver with Last Week Tonight. So we're going to see his... next season, he's been on what, like 10 years now?
Wow.
I didn't realize just this show.
Been that long.
Not including The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a good show. 2014?
I want to say 2014, maybe 2013 is when he started that show. I thought it was 2014, but somewhere around there. Wow. So, yeah, just a little bit of geek news for you. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Lyft. You're listening to Geeks and Brews.
Every year, an outstanding amount of people lose their teeth, all because of smoking crack. If you want to keep your teeth strong and shiny, there's only one simple thing to do. Don't smoke crack. Smoking crack is bad. So the next time you find yourself with a crack pipe in hand, remember, if you love your teeth, please don't smoke crack.
Wake up with us every Saturday morning as we play the latest tracks, some old favorites, a listener request, and of course, our beat of the week.
Geeks and Beats. It's Saturday mornings, 7 a.m. Pacific, exclusively at AWTR.mixler.com.
If you enjoy this program and are interested in promotional and advertising opportunities, please reach out to kwtrwhittier@gmail.com for more information.
Geeks and Brews.
Moments in bad broadcasting.
And Donna, I feel like there's two worlds. Like there's northern and southern. Southern is a lot of islands. And I realized something about myself. I don't love beaches. What I mean by this is like, I'm not saying I hate beaches. What I'm saying is if I'm traveling across the world, I don't want to spend my day sitting there doing nothing. I want to be active. And so like one or two hours.
Oh my God.
You don't want to like just sit and relax.
He goes to one of the most beautiful beaches in the world, and he doesn't like it.
You were in Hawaii for a little bit.
I started my
Chris. Please say something, Chris.
Geeks and Brews.
KWTR Radio.
This is Kermit the Frog, and you're listening to Geeks and Brews.
It's Geeks and Brews, the show where we geek out with a brew. This is Chris. It's Eli. It is Guillermo. Just a quick calendar. We are going to be breaking down the TV show next week, Twisted Metal. So stay tuned for that. But of course, this week we did see a movie. So I think it's time to geek out on that one. And we saw the movie Lift. This is a brand new Netflix film. Follows a master thief, played by Kevin Hart, and his Interpol agent ex-girlfriend who team up to steal $500 million in gold bullion being transported on an A380 passenger flight. Going to some bad hombres with that.
Yeah.
One. Eli, this is your pick. Tell us about this film.
Well, this movie is a little more lighthearted than the previous movies we've chosen. I figured we could use a little bit, a little something different. So I chose a heist movie, which I thought it was fun. It was a fun watch. Kevin Hart is the leader of a group of thieves that, some of the actors you might recognize, Vincent D'Onofrio, and I don't remember the actress name who plays the Interpol agent, but she also did an excellent job. She's very, very easy on the eyes, if you know what I'm saying. She's very, very pretty.
That is Edgar's phrase. I know.
Well, he's not here, so I have to cover for him.
You have to say it more like grumbly, like he's, you know, easy on the eyes.
But all in all, they all did a fantastic job in the movie. And even till the end, sure, you kind of knew what was going to happen, but they, it was different. It was a little different, and I enjoyed it. The premise of the movie was, it starts off with them trying to steal an NFT from an art show auction, and they used the money from they steal a Van Gogh, and they use that money on the dark web to buy the NFT from under people, and they made more money than what was intended, because they pretended to inadvertently they kidnapped the creator of the NFT, and which rose the price of the NFT itself. Then at that movie, the Interpol agent comes, and she's like, oh, we caught you guys, and we need a favor to stop a terrorist. So you guys either help us or you all go to jail. So they have to help steal $500 million in gold bullion from a plane while it's still in the air, so they could stop the terrorist from funding his master plan and, destroy pretty much parts of Europe, probably with the hackers that he hired. So
one of those stories where keep your enemies close, or no, your enemies close and your friends close and enemies closer.
Oh, jeez. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. It's the phrase there, Chris.
Yeah. That was like enemies close. Like, no, that's not right.
Keep your enemies close, but your enemies even closer.
That sounds so romantic. Like, keep them closer, hold them tight, never let them go.
There's such a mess everywhere. The floors are sticky. Of course, the prizes are crappy.
Just like that.
What? Anyway. What did you think, Guillermo, of the movie?
Well, I mean, it was overall entertaining. I was actually shocked. I didn't actually know, like, until you just literally mentioned it, I did not know D'Onofrio was in that movie.
He's a good character actor, man. Sometimes you forget about him.
You have to remember, like, he's that one actor that no one really realizes is in half the movies they've seen. Like, it always shocks people that the guy from Full Metal Jacket, the guy was the same guy from Men in Black, same guy from who plays Kingpin, same guy who was in Jurassic Park. He transforms.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but I always recognize him regardless. Obviously, my first movie I saw from him was Full Metal Jacket, and that shit blew my mind.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you've seen the movie, he blew his mind too.
I just looked up who he played. It's actually funny because in that movie, he plays a guy who's a master of disguise. And
you didn't recognize him.
Movie wise, he's a master of disguise. Like there's certain actors that get a lot of credit because they're iconic. Like, anything done by Leonardo DiCaprio or anything from Will Smith, those are iconic. But people recognize him because they're kind of playing the same characters. Like, same for Tom Cruise. But Leonardo DiCaprio, D'Onofrio, he got his due, but I feel like it took him way longer to get the praise he deserves because no one recognizes him from movie to movie.
He also was in, I don't know if you know this, but he was also in Law & Order Criminal Intent.
I never saw him in
that. He was like the main guy, him and his partner in the show. Were the main characters in Law & Order Criminal Intent for a while. And in my opinion, him and his partner's episodes were the best episodes in my opinion. But he also did a great job on that show. So I'm a fan of his for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the original question. What did you think of the movie?
Okay. What did I think of it? I mean, I feel like it was overall enjoyable. I'll be honest, I tend to like heist movies overall. This one was just kind of, it felt like kind of safely done. It didn't do anything particularly amazing, but it was enjoyable. I enjoyed the main character was kind of fun to listen to it, like the banter. You kind of knew where things were going to go, but it was almost, I think there's some sense it was almost too convenient. Like, everyone just had like superhero level of expertise on everything. Like, it was a normal ride. I wasn't blown away by the movie, but I had fun.
It was like, it was a fun ride, but it was like, Ocean's 11 on steroids. Ocean's 11, the securities, like to get through the, the technology that they use. Like, at one point they mentioned that, they can't afford, I think it was like, I think it was the first heist, or not the first heist, with the NFT, but the actual main story. They couldn't afford something. And it's like, but look at all the tech that they have.
Yes.
Like, tech alone is worth all of that. Like, it boggles the mind. And they were never in really any kind of threatening position other than, like, don't get beat up.
What do you mean?
Oh,
yes, they were. The plane almost crashed three times.
Yeah, the plane almost crashed, but the gold... Oh, wait, once they landed the plane, the gold was already stolen. Again, that's giving away some spoilers.
But you don't know that until the end of the movie.
Spoilers! Yeah, well, the audience doesn't know, but it's kind of already given away. Or not given away, but the threat is gone. We don't know, but they know. So it's more of a ride for the audience, I guess. I mean, again, it was very enjoyable, very fun. But after you're done watching it, you're like, no threats at all to these characters. It's, hell, when they were fighting each other, they're not really getting bruised and beaten and cut up, and you know, obviously the villains are, but not them. So I don't remember seeing Kevin Hart really beat up or anything, you know, bleeding or anything like that. You know, so, but yeah, it was a fun ride.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Especially after the picks that we have been watching, I will say that.
What are you rated, Chris?
I think I'm going to give it a 6. It was a fun ride, but nothing really crazy great. I'm glad I saw this at home. A great little Netflix pickup, but nothing spectacular. A solid 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Guillermo.
I kind of agree with Chris. It felt like a solid 6. It was, I feel like I'm very random with it. Like, depending on the genre, we'll give very different type of levels. But I mean, I'd say it like 6. If you want to give it a 6.5, I'll do that. But it was a very right in the medium thing. And I actually feel like that's really whenever Netflix does something, it always feels like safe and in the middle.
All right. Well, I give it a 7. Yep. I thought it was enjoyable. Yep. I think the characters had good chemistry, that it was fun, entertaining, and I wasn't bored throughout the whole movie. So I think I'll give it a 7.
All righty. And let's check the IMDb score, and we are looking very close to it. We're a little bit higher. IMDb gave it a 5.5.
All right.
So not far off with the sixes there. Seven's a little higher, but we're averaging about a 6.5. IMDb gives it a 5.5. So again, we're pretty close to the people on this one. Again, the movie is Lift. You can find it wherever. You can find it on Netflix.
Wherever
movies are available. Wherever Netflix is. Wherever you can subscribe to Netflix, that's where you can find it. Lift. Alrighty. Guillermo, don't.
Fun fact of the day.
All right. Well, my fun fact, weirdly enough, got inspired by our conversation regarding that one cursed baseball player. And it kind of reminded me of the movie Groundhog's Day. And the reason is, so did you guys know that there was actually a reason he was repeating the same day over and over in the famous movie Groundhog's Day?
No.
So originally, and this was kind of deleted from it, he was supposed to have a girl that he breaks up with unceremoniously, that gets so upset she places a curse on him. And
that changes the movie completely.
And that curse is placed, and that's why he then goes and experiences it day over again. In fact, you might even notice a hint of it, because when he does that kiss at the very end, that was like a very true love kiss-esque thing, there's like a little like chime that plays that kind of indicates the breaking of the curse.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Wow, that's a good one, Guillermo. What up, mushroom, for that one? Be sure to stalk us. You can find us wherever all the social medias are available. We're on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Threads and so forth. Of course, you can listen to us here live, but did you know you can podcast this show?
What?
That's right. Yeah, you can podcast it. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, also iHeartRadio. Go download, download them if you can. But be sure to like, subscribe, give us a review. We do appreciate that. Of course, for all your geeking out with a brew needs, we have this little site. It is called geeksandbrews.com. So go check it out for your geekdom enjoyment. Gentlemen, what have we learned today, Eli?
We have learned that Eli forgot to talk about the Tool concert. One, what's up, bro? When it was the most awesome thing that he did last week, pretty much.
What the F, man? What the F? What about you,
Gil? I learned that Tool did not sing certain songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that we learned that also.
I learned that we all... I also learned that we all did not hear Tool play Hurt. Yeah.
No, definitely did not.
Didn't get a chance to hear that. Maybe they'll cover it next time.
Yeah, maybe.
Eli, take us
away. All right, for Geeks and Brews, this is Guillermo, Eli, and Chris saying, leave no beer behind. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
When do you have to wash that awful taste out of my mouth?
Mountain Dew or crab juice?
Ugh! Oh, jeez! I'll take a crab juice.
Geeks and Brews.